Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Well, it is legal to have medicinal marijuana in Missouri. However, up until this point, there has been no medicinal marijuana available, actual marijuana that has THC. That's going to change this week, and I'm going to give you some details coming up. Brad Getty, who is the CEO of Nirvana Enterprises, is going to come up and fill us in, because two dispensaries, both on Manchester Road, will have some flower, as they say, in the industry. I know the industry quite well. My wife is in the industry and actually helps run those dispensaries, in the effort of full disclosure. But it is interesting and rather historic for Missouri. Obviously, Illinois went through this a while back, and now they're a recreational state. Kevin Killeen is with me. I heard something this morning caught my attention. I wanted to play his whole nother story. How are you, Kevin?
Good. I'm flattered you're listening and you're up that early. I don't get
absolutely
up that early to go
absolutely
to the bathroom.
Well, I was playing golf this morning, so I was motivated by that. But let's set this up for me, because I want to play this, and then reaction.
It has to do with the age-old custom of, can I borrow your blank?
Whatever. Can I borrow your leaf blower? Can I
your
borrow
lawnmower?
Your yes,
your
or I borrow
movie.
my neighbor's power washer. I got to say washer. So that's the impetus for this. Let's hear Kevin's whole nother story.
Once, I lent a copy of my movie Fahrenheit 451 to a close friend because I thought he would like it. If you don't know, it's a movie about this future society. It's a Ray Bradbury story about a world in which firefighters search out and burn books.
Is it true that a long time ago, firemen used to put out fires and not burn books?
6 months later, my friend still hadn't watched it, and when I asked about it, he admitted that it was lost in his kitchen pantry somewhere back with the cake mixes. Well, maybe that was just a boring movie, but the same thing has happened to me when I lend people exciting films.
Leave him alone! He's gonna get us all killed. I'm gonna get rid of him.
We're not getting rid of anybody. We're gonna stick together just like it used to be. When you side with a man, you stay with him, and if you can't do that, you're like some animal. You're finished. We're finished.
Before the pandemic hit, I lent a friend who likes Westerns, my favorite Western, The Wild Bunch, with William Holden and Ernest Borgnine. There's not a book burning in the whole movie. But I still don't think he has watched it. Whenever I ask him about it, he puts his head down and looks at the carpet and says, I'll get to it eventually. Several years ago, a friend in the KMOX newsroom lent me one of those critter cages because he knew I had squirrels in my attic. I was supposed to return it after a few squirrels, but then I broke it. The bottom metal screen that the trap was mounted on came loose, and I was always meaning to fix it before I'd give it back to him, and I never got around to it. Finally, he had to drive all the way to my house and pick it up. I felt awful. More recently, I borrowed a ladder from a friend to paint the house. Originally, I told him I just needed it for a weekend, but now it's been 3 weeks. He's going to have to come by the house soon and pick it up, because now he needs the ladder. I find that when it comes to borrowing and lending, the same things that annoy me about people I lend things to, I do when I borrow things. Maybe Shakespeare was right. In one of his plays, he said, "Never a borrower or a lender be, because borrowing dulls the edge of friendship." With a whole other story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
I love that. I love it. I love it. So I had to just share a quick story. Here's why I flashback, because I don't know if I am anymore, but I'm the guy that you, in the past, that you did not want to lend something to. And way back in, this is probably circa 87 or 88, I was working at a music station in Columbia, Missouri, and we did a money giveaway. Remember when stations used to do giveaways? And we put a picture out for a promotional purpose that had me and my morning team holding wads of cash. So I had gotten the reputation of being lent things and not returning them. So there's a guy named Fred Perry. I went to J school with him. He's actually a Boone County commissioner right now, and he's a rabble rouser. And he was a print guy. And I think he was working maybe at the Columbia Missourian at the time in some function. Anyway, they took the picture of me holding the wad of cash. They clipped it out of context and took a half page ad out in the Columbia Missourian that said, "Do not loan anything to this man." And they listed about 10 things that they had loaned to me, all of which were true. It wasn't fake news that I had not returned. It was humiliating and effective when it comes to advertising. So I thank you for that flashback, Kevin, to about 87 or 88.
Well, why is it that we don't return things?
I'm just that kind of person, Kevin. Can't tell you. You know what, though? Lend me something. We'll see what happens. It's 3:11. We're going to take a break and find out, is medicinal marijuana, actual marijuana that has THC in it, because you can't get that up until this point. It's going to change this week. We'll talk about it next.
Miss any part of the Mark Reardon Show? Download the podcast anytime.
Initiating download. Stand by.
At KMOX.com/Reardon.
I should mention here at the beginning, in the effort of full disclosure, Brad Getty is going to be my guest, and he is with a company that has marijuana dispensaries, cannabis dispensaries, and they so far have been selling CBD. That's going to change this week, it appears, and my wife is the chief marketing officer for the company, so I want to get that out there. But Brad Getty is with me this afternoon. He is the CEO of Nirvana Enterprises, which operates dispensaries in the area, and they're going to be among the first to have actual THC, two dispensaries on Manchester Road. Brad, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great, Mark. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We were chatting just a little bit before the segment, and I said, you know, because as I mentioned in the effort of full disclosure, my wife works for Brad, and she's the, you know, the marketing director, the chief marketing officer. And I said, hey, outside of Becky's boss, my wife's boss, what do I call you? Because I usually don't have to refer to you as any title. But I know that she, just so folks know, not that this is important, but Brad and Becky go way back to when you guys were working for Miller Brewing years ago, when my wife was working in the beer business, and you hooked up about a year and a half ago. And this has been a good thing for Becky, although she works really, really hard. And she's very excited about what's about to happen this week. Brad, this is rather historic, isn't it?
Yes, it's extremely historic, and I'm very fortunate to have Rebecca. Actually, it's a great thing for us. So, but we're at historic times on a new journey into a new business. So, very exciting.
Well, congratulations, and let's kind of talk about what's happening, because I know you have a bunch of TV folks and other reporters that are at the dispensary today, because once the actual, and it's referred to as flower, people who smoke weed know this, but the products that have THC, because right now all that's available is CBD, but it's all pointed toward this moment of medicinal marijuana. So once that's available and in the actual dispensary, Brad, you can't be in there unless you have a license, right?
Yes, you're absolutely correct. I mean, the way our model and the way we've built it to help people kind of experience the amazing parts to this plant, we've actually been open for business since June and then August on, you know, two of the locations that you referenced in Ellisville and Manchester. But our belief is the journey starts, you know, with CBD, so people can feel comfortable, they can understand a little bit more about the plant. And then the way our dispensary, our actual medical marijuana dispensary is set up, it's a store within a store. So you will indeed need your medical marijuana card to be able to go back and experience the medicine and the flower, like you said, Mark.
And how does that explain that process? So if people are interested in getting a card in the state of Missouri, I know Illinois has had this for a little while and they're a recreation state, and we can get into that, you know, the differences in Missouri in a moment. But for people who have an interest in that, what do they do?
Well, that's a great question. So what you need to do is we've partnered with a group that's licensed over 800,000 people nationally. They're out of California. They're called NUGMD, N-U-G-G-M-D. And we've been able to fully vet them and understand that they only work with licensed physicians in the state of Missouri. You need a Zoom call, so you'd have to be, it's a face-to-face transaction in terms of them diagnosing and then asking you about, you know, one of the 8 qualifying ailments in Missouri. And you go through the process, have some dialogue, and then there is the actual approval or the sign-off from the doctor. And then from there, the patient has to go to the Missouri State website and submit their application. And it usually takes 7 to 14 days for that to be turned around once the state, you know, is comfortable with indeed the fact this patient needs to have a license to purchase medical marijuana in Missouri. And it's exciting to say there were about 70,000 licensed patient cards in the state of Missouri, which is well above projections.
Brad Getty is my guest. He's the CEO and the managing partner of Nirvana Investments. They have a couple of dispensaries that are open right now on Manchester Road in Ellisville in Manchester. And again, in the effort of full disclosure, my wife works for this company. She's been working hard and pointed toward this moment. So right now, my son was in town. He got to visit the dispensary last night before there's any product. But look, you have 2 dispensaries. You can walk in. You can buy CBD products. This is all going to change at some point this week. So explain to folks, because I sort of operate in an interview like this under the assumption that people sort of know what's going on, Brad, and that's a terrible place to operate from because this is very new for Missouri. So I've been at dispensaries in California and Colorado and in Las Vegas. So at this point, this is so new for Missouri. Tell folks what they're going to experience.
Yes, that's it's exciting, like you mentioned, for Missouri, and we still are waiting on that flower to hit the stores, and that's really due to the state. You know, the patient is first. And what that patient will experience is a place that, you know, they can purchase medical cannabis. Real, you know, it's legal, first of all, a safe and trusted environment. And that, from our, you know, dispensary standpoint, we'll have wellness specialists that can help walk them through and guide them on questions. And, you know, also provide them with the information on the different strains of product, you know, some of the effects that these products could give the potential patient. But then also, you know, it's important that any medical marijuana card holder, you know, does consult with their physician and make sure that, you know, that they have full understanding of what the plant properties are. But if you walk into any of the dispensaries, you know, our 2 dispensaries right now, you're going to go into a safe, secure, you know, environment that's well lit and, you know, with a patient focus in mind, where we want to talk and get to know our potential, you know, patients. It's important.
A lot of people have been familiar, and edibles have become very popular. Now, at this point, you won't have those, at least not yet, right, Brad?
Yes, you're correct. Part of the edibles, that's a manufacturing process from the flower. So right now, is, you know, Missouri is still waiting on that cultivation, that first harvest, to go through testing. Again, testing is imperative. There won't be anything in our stores that is not tested, you know, by the state and approved for sale. The flower piece is then taken and broken down into different, you know, forms and functions. And edibles, is like you mentioned, are going to be a little bit longer because right now it's the market needs to get up to speed, much like Illinois and, you know, all the states that have come before us.
So, you know, let me be cynical here just for a moment, because we've seen in these other states, all those other states that I mentioned, they're recreational right now. Illinois is recreational. There was an opportunity to get something on the ballot this fall, but my understanding is that COVID sort of interfered with that. I think a lot of people, and I believe in medicinal marijuana, have for a long time. I know there are people, whether it's people who have PTSD or other issues, that are going to be helped by this. But there are a lot of people out there that are going to say, hey, I just want to get high, dude. And I'm fine with that, too. But isn't this kind of this is pointed toward a recreational market. Can you even make money? Can your company make money without this going recreational?
Well, it's a very challenging space just because of the, you know, being federally still illegal, and the banking really does make it challenging to be, you know, profitable. But that's, you know, that's part of the understanding and part of the journey. You know, the first thing here is to serve the patients, and, you know, to build on your, you know, cynicism, you know, we've seen 33 states go medical marijuana before us. We're just trying to keep pace here in Missouri, but to give back, you know, build infrastructures, you know, 4% of the tax goes to Veteran Affairs and doing the right thing along those lines. It does take a while to get to I call it adult use situation, like Illinois has just experienced. There's only 11 of those currently in the U.S. So it is kind of a journey, but, you know, you have to be comfortable. Again, it's patient-focused at this point with the medical piece. And then where it goes down the road, we'll see where it takes us.
Brad, there's been a lot of coverage, as you know, in the local media about the license process, and I'm pretty sure you're not going to complain about that because you guys were granted not only dispensary licenses but manufacturing and also transportation. But was that license process fair? The allegation is that people had the same answers that others did who got licenses, but for whatever reason, they got shut out.
Yeah, I know there were some concerns along the scoring, but you got to remember there is a system in place. You're correct. We were fortunate. I don't have, an optic, nor does anybody, in the industry to what all those, questions, answers of other applications were. Everybody has to have their own model. If you look at the process and the way it's gone through, I mean, Missouri has definitely lived up to every mark that they've tried to hit from a timeline, et cetera. With a lot of these industries that are new, we haven't seen anything like this since prohibition on alcohol has been lifted. It does take time, and it does take a comfort level with the people that are trying to enter into these industries.
Is there a more regular, you know a lot of industries. You've worked in, yes. Liquor, tobacco. Is there a more regulated industry than this?
Not that I've experienced. Not that I've, been privy to all industries. But like you said, I've been in the, highly restricted areas, liquor with Miller Brewing Company, convenience stores, tobacco. I have never seen anything like this, which is great for the patient. I mean, let's face it. This is, something that can be really good for so many people that have suffered, that have, had a challenge with opioid addiction, et cetera. So it's important that, not only the state, but the people that are in this business are doing the right thing for those individuals. And I'm okay with that. I mean, compliance is very important in the space.
Do you think that, and what would your projection be on the, because you referenced this earlier, on the federal banking laws, because that some of these things just have not caught up with the states. Federal law has not caught up with what the states are doing.
Yes, it comes up, this election year, obviously it'll be interesting to see where that takes us. But in order for this business to be truly, fully functional and really perform at the highest level, we need to get federal banking, in place. You don't want, things that are not, on a cash basis. They're always cash flowing, et cetera. You do want them to function as a normal business with the same tax laws in place. It's just good for the economy, and it's good for the people in the states where the money is going to be giving back from a tax perspective.
Well, thanks for coming on here this afternoon. Again, I know that it's historic. If you had to circle back on the recreational deal, because I know people are going to have a question about that. If you had to guess on that, will that be on a ballot next fall or in 2 years? What would be your handicapping of that?
I'll handicap that. I'll go with 2 years, Mark. Again, we're still trying to get the medical off the ground, but that's the next major, I'll call it, election cycle. So that's where I'd handicap it.
And your prediction as far as when and Bliss is supposed to be the first in the state to get actual flower for the dispensaries, that's going to come this week, is the prediction?
I will not err by saying exactly this week. We'll just have to see. I've been wrong before. I don't want to do that to patients or anybody out there that's, listening that's truly looking for this medicine. But we do have, updates on our website. And as soon as we know, we totally plan on communicating that to everybody that's, getting the medicine that they need and deserve. It's just been too long.
Well, Brad, again, thank you. Congratulations. I know there's a little history here, and we'll make sure that we share the news as it comes in this week. Brad Getty, they call him the captain, Nirvana Investments in Bliss, the two dispensaries. They're on Manchester Road in Ellisville and Manchester. Brad, thank you. Good luck with everything.
Thank you, Mark. Really appreciate it. Take care and have a great day.
I'm just hoping that everything gets off the ground this week because my wife, Rebecca Reardon, has been working very hard toward this moment. She was involved in the application process and in all of these things. And it's, it is a day. No, look, I'll give these guys trouble. I'll give Becky, my wife, trouble because you hear what they say when they say medicine. I think there's people out there going to be cynical and say medicine. It's weed. People want to get high. And I think that's true to a certain extent. However, I think I'll share I'll share my vision and my insight on this in more detail at another time. I have over the years. I've been very libertarian on marijuana because I was arrested in 1983 at the University of Missouri for a small teensy weensy amount landing on my record. And that changed things for me when it came to policy and what marijuana was all about. But I do think there are people with PTSD or anxiety or depression or insomnia that are helped with the help of weed. So I'm happy to have it happen here in Missouri. And we'll keep you posted when that gets in the stores later this week. It's 3:30. I think we get an update this afternoon from Dr. Garza from the St. Louis Regional Pandemic Task Force, and he's taking the podium.
St. Louis County. However, the case data has shown that we're also giving up a little bit of these gains with some increase in the cases here recently. And that seems to be true across the metropolitan area. Now, this weekend, our hospitalization data remained in the upper 30s after seeing some in the 40s and even 50s of last week. So we're continuing to see spread across the community, which is concerning as we're heading into our cooler weather where we're going to be inside more often, as well as influenza season coming around. So let's look at our data, see where we are today, go over some modeling data, and then we'll take some questions if we have any. So as we always do, we start with our graph highlighting our regional admissions data. And again, these are COVID positive patients, which is delayed by 2 days. Today, we're reporting a good number. It's 27 admissions. Our rolling 7-day average is still at 40 because of all of the other recent high admissions days. So again, we don't like to put a whole lot of stock into 1-day fluctuations, but we'll take the 27 when we can get it. Taking a look at now at our census data from across the metropolitan area, and again, these are COVID-positive patients only. We have 285 COVID-positive patients in our hospitals today, and our rolling 7-day average is at 272. Looking at our numbers, again, COVID-positive patients only across the task force hospitals, 285 currently hospitalized, as I mentioned, 72 confirmed COVID patients in our intensive care units, and 38 confirmed COVID patients on ventilators today in our hospitals. With our suspected COVID positive patients, again, these are patients where we're waiting for a test result to come back or we're suspicious that the patient does have COVID. We have 186 today of suspected COVID patients. I know it says 86 there, but I believe it is 86. 86 hospitalizations today of suspected COVID patients. We have 13 suspected COVID patients in the intensive care unit, and we have 4 suspected COVID patients on ventilators. So again, it's 86. So moving on to our good news slide today, we have 26 patients discharged from our task force hospitals, bringing our cumulative total to 6,768 patients that have...
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Audio cut of the day coming up here before the end of the hour. Also, really cool car show to tell you about at 4:20. My buddy Alex Rosenberger from Master Cars, Inc. It's at Sunset Hills Country Club, but there's also a kind of a touring parade aspect to that as well. That's coming up in the next hour. This is maybe an undercovered story a little bit nationally. I don't know how many people around here dialed into it, but you have members of the Orthodox Jewish community in New York protesting against Governor Cuomo's new measures limiting gatherings in places of worship. And I think there was even an arrest yesterday. Henry Goldman is with Bloomberg News, joins me this afternoon for an update. Hey, Henry, how are you?
I'm good, Mark. How are you doing?
Did I get that right? Did I hear someone, one of the protesters, was arrested yesterday over all this as well?
Yeah, absolutely. There was a rabble rouser who was arrested. He kind of incited a mob of protesters to beat up on a journalist, a colleague of mine who works for a Jewish publication in New York City. He's okay, but he was roughed up, and it was a deplorable incident. The vast majority of people.
Isn't he also running for? He's running for. This is a guy that's running for the New York City Council as well.
He's run. Well, you know, it's a free country. You can run for office. You can do a lot of things in this country. I have to say that these people were a tiny minority, and that the protesters did have some valid valid beef with the governor, who kind of, with a very broad swath, eliminated the right to worship for a whole bunch of people on one of their most serious, actually joyous holidays, which is celebrating the Bible, the Torah, the beginning of a new year where they start to read the Torah again. And he basically banned any gathering larger than 10 people in what he called a red zone, where there was an infection rate of, in some places, maybe 3.5% on tests. In some places, it was as high as 8.5%. But in some of these synagogues, there's room for 500. And to ban all but 10 people in that room, they felt was unreasonable. And they were exercising their free speech rights to protest this. And most of them, you know, deplore what this person did. I'm not even going to mention his name because he's such a publicity hound. But he was rightfully arrested. He's got a criminal record for financial misdeeds on his record. And, you know, this is emblematic of a country which, in which some leaders of the country create division and create this kind of strife. And some people are susceptible to it.
Now, Henry, in this situation, because obviously we've seen some, going back to the beginning of the pandemic, there's been, you know, concern about religious gatherings. We've had some of that even in Missouri. But in this particular case, I think there was a court that was asked to take a look at it. They uphold the governor's ruling. And is this because we're kind of removed from New York City right now? Is this because there's fear that this is really spiking again in New York City?
Well, the court ruling came down months ago at a time when the infection rate was pretty high. Literally, there were too many bodies for funeral parlors to bury. So there was a real public health emergency. But yes, a court did decide that the governor has the authority to do it. The protesters were saying, why didn't you come to our community leaders and discuss this with us and come up with a plan that would have had the compliance of the community and the cooperation of the community, and take into account that this holiday was coming up and that would be a special circumstance. There seemed to be a disconnect in the communication between the community and the governor. And the governor prides himself in being very open and having a very good relationship with this community, which is extremely insular. They don't read newspapers. They don't really watch TV. And paradoxically, they're constantly on the internet and they're constantly communicating on you know, phone apps. And the opportunity for rumor is just enormous under these circumstances.
I think people have seen, I think it is a microcosm. You're seeing, you know, I think people have seen some of the activity on Twitter and elsewhere, that these are pretty big crowds that are gathering in these circumstances, right?
Well, you know, the crowds, I would say the crowds in these circumstances, there were probably hundreds in the streets on Wednesday night and a little less on Tuesday night in Brooklyn. And most of them were protesting the fact that they wouldn't be able to celebrate this holiday. They had no intention of rioting. I mean, some people were burning masks. That was a very tiny minority. They were chanting. A lot of people had Trump signs on their chests, and, you know, they were wearing bumper stickers and big buttons for Trump and waving Trump flags. So there was a kind of political dynamic to this thing that was not really surprising to people who have followed the way in which society has kind of been riven by divisiveness.
Is New York, just outside of what's happening at the hotspots in this particular situation, but just a broader, sort of a broader picture of New York right now, I mean, are there concerns that you're going to slip back into the danger zone here? I mean, obviously there are for the whole country, but how much on the red line are you there now in Manhattan in particular?
Well, it's tiny. I mean, the statewide rate is 1.1%. Now, you know, we test probably 120,000 people a day in the state. In New York City, the state the rate is probably around 1.3, might be one. Actually, it's 1.37. Which is small when you consider that there are hot spots within the city where some of the rates have gone as high as 8%. This is nothing like the tragedies that unfolded last March and April and May. And not only that, but the therapies for treating this illness are much more advanced now than they were then, and we're much better prepared. The hospitals are better prepared. There's more protective equipment, and there's much more sophistication about what you can do to prevent getting infected. So, no. The short answer is no. There isn't the fear that New York could backslide into what it was yesterday, in yesteryear, if you will, several months ago.
That's good news. Henry Goldman from Bloomberg, I appreciate it. Thanks for the update this afternoon.
Thank you.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right, we will we'll kind of get a couple in here as an audio daily double, audio daily triple, if I can say that. And it's sponsored by the Goodfeet Store, pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. Amy Coney Barrett, after a bunch of senators went up there and said a bunch of nonsense this morning on both sides. I mean, that's what they do. She finally took the microphone and said this.
So to all Americans, this hearing, whatever these guys try to do, whatever you hear from me,
it was in there, too. Let's start with the this is the nominee, Amy Coney Barrett.
When I was 21 years old and just beginning my career, Ruth Bader Ginsburg sat in this seat. She told the committee, what has become of me could only happen in America. I have been nominated to fill Justice Ginsburg's seat, but no one will ever take her place. I will be forever grateful for the path she marked and the life she led.
Not good enough for the other Amy. You heard a little preview there. Senator Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota.
So to all Americans, this hearing, whatever these guys try to do, whatever you hear from me, it will not be a cry of defeat. It will instead be our blueprint for the future. Yes, Judge, I think this hearing is a sham. I think it shows real messed up priorities from the Republican Party. But I am here to do my job, to tell the truth.
One of those Republicans, Josh Hawley of Missouri, focusing on Catholic bigotry.
And for those watching at home, that's right, you heard me correctly. Senator Harris and others on this committee have repeatedly questioned judicial nominees' fitness for office because of their membership in the Knights of Columbus. The ranking member, when you were last before this committee, Judge, for your initial confirmation hearings, the ranking member referred to your Catholic convictions as dogma, that's a quote, that lives loudly within you. Picking up the very terminology of anti-Catholic bigotry current in this country a century ago. She wasn't alone. Other senators on this committee last time asked you if you were an Orthodox Catholic. One senator said she worried that you would be a Catholic judge if you were confirmed because of your religious beliefs. I guess as opposed to an American judge.
Day one of the Amy Coney Barrett hearing in the book on Capitol Hill, or in the books on Capitol Hill. Total information PM's coming up next. Much more on that. We'll check traffic just ahead of CBS News next on The Voice of St. Louis.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.